From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Avi, tell me how you came upon this story.
I had a few moms reach out to me.
This is WHYY's education reporter, Avi Wolfman-Arend.
And say, we want to have coffee. We have this little parent movement going in a district called Tredyffrin Easttown. I said, sure.
Where is that? Where is Tredyffrin?
Tredyffrin Easttown's about 30 minutes west of Philadelphia. It's a very affluent suburban school district. I said, sure. Always happy to meet with parent groups. And basically we sat down and pretty quickly they got to the point. And the point was, we send our kids to one of the highest rated school districts in Pennsylvania, and we don't think this district knows how to teach reading. And I was like, okay, I'm interested in that. Yeah. We could have a longer conversation. I was kind of blown away by what they were telling me.
What those two moms told Avi over coffee is that they'd been talking to lots of parents in the district, saying their kids couldn't read because the schools aren't properly diagnosing them with dyslexia. But what Avi found was that while many kids were having a tough time, pointing the finger at the school wasn't so simple. And what's happening in this mainline school district is part of a national debate over whether schools are failing some kids when we teach them how to read. Today's show, Reading into Dyslexia. One of the parents Avi talked to for this story was Jennifer Arnott. Her son Declan had struggled with reading for years.
I remember back to kindergarten for Declan, and they had a booklet with all the letters of the alphabet, and they had to be able to go through and do the sounds of them. And they had homework that they called fun work that was given on a monthly basis. And he hated to do the fun work. It was not at all fun for him.
Yep.
And true.
Jennifer was like, kids learn at different rates. I'm sure he'll pick it up. He got a little extra help.
The extra work that they were pulling him out to do because he wasn't retaining and remembering what the sounds of the letters were, I remember as a bit of a red flag.
Second grade, I went to the nurse a lot. Even though I didn't need to go to the nurse, it was like 30-something times in that year, so I tried to avoid it some years.
Second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, he's still just not getting it.
He's still frustrated. He's struggling.
And as this happens, Jennifer starts to worry.
We were hitting a kind of a crisis point.
It starts to affect his behavior.
Sometimes I flip desks.
And finally, in eighth grade, she pulls him out and sends him to a private school that is laser focused on teaching kids with reading difficulties.
I absolutely saw progress.
He starts to make improvements. He starts to catch on. He starts to find methods that work for him.
I saw confidence. I saw someone who's happy with themselves, comfortable in their own body.
And eventually, when Declan was 16 years old, they take him to an outside evaluator, an independent neuropsychologist who says, yeah, he has dyslexia. That's the root of all of this. He has dyslexia.
What is dyslexia exactly?
You can find a lot of different definitions on the internet for dyslexia.
Dyslexia affects people in different ways. It differs from person to person.
In a 2018 federal law, dyslexia was defined as an unexpected difficulty in reading for an individual who has the intelligence to be a much better reader, most commonly caused by a difficulty in the phonological processing.
And what is that, for phonological processing?
The way I have come to understand it, and this is kind of crude, but basically, like, look, there's oral language and there's written language. And in order to be able to translate or decode written language, you need to know what two letters or three letters or a combination of letters equates to in the oral language. You have to do this matching.
A is for apple, apple. B is for ball, ball.
And people with dyslexia struggle to do that. And it inhibits their ability to read. They have problems breaking down the code that is reading.
Why is this diagnosis important? Like, do parents consider it comforting in some way?
Absolutely.
It seems something that had a fix to me.
I talked to so many parents who said, like, this made my kid's struggles real for me. And it allowed my kid and me to realize that my child's not dumb. Like, my child doesn't have some sort of broader intellectual deficit. They just struggle to learn how to read. And it allowed them to say they're not being taught the right way. So you kind of see the blame shifting. It's not me. It's not that I didn't give them enough books or enough help. It's that someone, and that someone in this case is the school district, didn't know how to help my kid decode.
So there are now a number of parents in the Tredyffrin Easttown School District who are taking on the district over the use of this word. What is the movement all about?
Initially, this started as a dyslexia awareness campaign in Tredyffrin Easttown to sort of get everybody talking about dyslexia. It's really morphed, though, into something much larger. There are a few schools of thought when it comes to how to teach reading. One approach is called whole language. It was most popular in the 80s and 90s, but it persists in some form today. And the whole language approach says, look, just surround kids with literature and words, make them love it, and they will learn to read. On the other side of the spectrum are people who take a more structured literacy approach, which I think is easiest to understand by using the word phonics. So basically, you need to explicitly tell kids, this is the code and this is how you break it down. And there is a movement afoot supported by academics, but also a lot of parents who say school districts need to lean heavier on phonics. And the reason they need to do that in part is because if you use the whole language approach, it leaves kids with dyslexia behind.
How does the school district defend the way it teaches reading?
So I talked with Wendy Toll, who's in charge of curriculum at the school district.
I feel very confident in the reading instruction that we provide right now for our students. We have a wide spectrum of students. So we have to think about, and when we consider the instruction that we provide in the general education classroom, is how well does that meet the need of all of our students?
Our methods are based on research, just like the parents want them to be.
Avi, what's the potential upside of this movement, and what are some potential risks?
You could say, first of all, this is a great thing. This is parents getting organized and not just accepting the wisdom that school districts hand down. So you have people like Louise Spear Swirling from Southern Connecticut State University who says,
part of the parent advocacy here comes out of understandable frustration that there is a lot we know about the disability that's in many places not being put into practice educationally.
Lots of school districts don't know the best way to teach kids how to read. And you have parents pushing back and potentially, you know, making schools examine how they teach reading and really helping familiarize them with the scientific evidence.
If reading were taught well in the early grades, it could be that children with very mild cases of dyslexia, you know, would never manifest at all, and even children with more moderate or severe problems would be helped.
I would say the potential drawback is that a lot of the parents I talked to for this story and who are organized around this issue want a very narrow, specific kind of curriculum. They want something that's hyper-focused on phonics. And almost anyone will tell you, phonics is not the only thing you need to understand to become a good reader. You need vocabulary. You need to understand what words mean. And maybe somewhere down the line, like, this narrows the curriculum in a way that is ultimately damaging to kids. Tredyffrin Easttown, in some ways, is a great controlled experiment, because in Tredyffrin Easttown, you don't have a lot of kids who attend under-resourced schools where there's lots of teacher turnover and lack of supplies. You don't have kids who experience a lot of personal turmoil and trauma in their lives, at least writ large, and those types of things can derail a kid from learning how to read. This is a case where you have lots of parents with resources and time to help their kids succeed. And yet, you have parents who say, our kids are not succeeding. So what is the variable that's holding them back? And these parents would argue it's the instruction. It's the way they're being taught. That's the only thing that can explain this. In that way, this is the perfect place to ask this question. In another way, you could argue it's the worst place to have this debate.
In what way is that?
Well, basically that, look, this is a super competitive, desirable school district. Parents move here because they expect their kids to achieve at a high level. And when they don't, when they fall maybe just a little bit below average, the parents freak out and they look for someone to blame. And they crave some sort of diagnosis that explains why their kids are struggling. Dyslexia is a very convenient way to describe why a kid might be struggling. Look, you could give every kid in the world the best hockey coach. Some kids are not going to be good at hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I would never be good at hockey, even if Bobby Orr himself came back to life and taught me how. That's just I'm not athletic enough to be an NHL player. So is some of that going on here, and parents are erroneously jumping to conclusions about how the school district teaches reading?
Why is this such an important conversation to have?
You could argue that teaching reading is the single most important thing that a school district does. So if school districts aren't teaching reading the right way, the stakes are incredibly high. There was one recent study that said a student who can't read on grade level by third grade is four times less likely to graduate by age 19 than a child who does read proficiently. There is a domino effect for kids who can't read. There's one study that suggests about half of prisoners in Texas have some form of dyslexia. So reading failure can have catastrophic implications in a kid's life. And if school districts are failing to teach kids how to read, I mean, you could be setting up hundreds of thousands and millions of kids for hard lives.
Thanks, Avi.
Thanks, Shai.
And that's it for the show. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Subscribe to the podcast and reach out on Twitter at Shai Ben Yaakov, at Annette JH, and at Alex Ray Stern. We'll be back tomorrow.